This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Lynn Mark in the studio this morning. Let's take a look at the numbers out of the stock markets. Lynn, it seems to be a little bit of a green day.
It was, in the US at least. So the Dow Jones was up 0.6%. The S&P 500 closed up 1%. The NASDAQ closed up 2.5%. It was also mostly green in Asia. So the Nikkei 225 was up 0.6%. The Shanghai up 2.7%. The Hang Seng up 1.7%. Singapore SGI up just under 1%. But of course, you know, we like to buck the trend here in Malaysia. We were the only market, the major market that we watch in the red. So we were down 0.6%.
Yeah, you know, I take a look at stocks in the morning and it looks like the NASDAQ, the tech heavy NASDAQ, is a little bit bouncing back. It's up 6% since it hit its recent low just a few days ago. And we're seeing a lot of the growth stocks starting to come back in vogue, where Etsy is up 7%, Pinterest up 4%, Airbnb up 8%, and so on and so forth. It looks like the buy the dip mentality is in and gaining some strength here. And I guess we're seeing the signing of the stimulus into law. These are all components that are going to play out as we see how the market plays out, right? But it has certainly been a very volatile few days.
Yeah, so Christmas has arrived, is arriving for 90% of American households this weekend. They'll be receiving their extra stimulus checks as well as other tax benefits. So well done, Joe Biden.
Yeah, and you know, while we talk about the stock market, let's just quickly talk about this big IPO that happened. Coupang, the South Korea's largest e-commerce company, delivered the biggest US IPO since Uber, raising $4.6 billion after selling stock above its deal target range. They had priced about 130 million shares. 130 million shares was sold in the IPO at $35 per share, higher than the marketing range of between $32 and $34 per share, I think, giving it a market value of about $60 billion.
Yeah, so Coupang's IPO is the biggest in the US this year. It surpassed the $2.15 billion raised previously by dating app Bumble. And it also marks a jump in Coupang's valuation, which was pegged at just $9 billion in a funding round in 2018. So South Korean analysts say that the strong response to Coupang's offering was a result of its market leader position in the country. It was founded in 2010 and rose to prominence after launching a guaranteed same-day or next-day delivery service in South Korea.
Yeah, so it is 10th largest e-commerce firm in the world based on retail value, excluding sales tax. And in 2020, its net sales jumped 91% year-on-year to $11 billion. Of course, this is riding on the work-from-home trend.
Yes, and indeed. But now we're going to take a look at more global markets right now with Tim Mulholland, president of DGM Limit based out of Chicago. Tim, thanks for joining us this morning or this evening on your side. Just a few hours ago, the NASDAQ closed 2.5% up, led by chipmaker and some of the growth stocks as well. What's driving the volatility in this tech-heavy index, which we are not seeing on the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
Yeah, well, I think you saw a huge rotation. And some of these rotation into these cyclicals and value stocks, you know, they just can't be stretched in the way that growth can. But I think what's really happening here is that there's a little bit of more people are convinced that inflation fears or inflation will be transitory and that long rates will be okay. And then there's a stimulus coming and so forth. So it's and growth, by the way, the NASDAQ corrected 10%, just over 10%. So I think that was a buy the dip mentality here. So, you know, we'll see. It's very vicious and very fast. But, you know, again, this is more subdued inflation fears or not so much panic and a slightly oversold condition.
And Tim, speaking about growth stocks, we recently saw, we were just talking about how South Korea's largest e-commerce company, Coupang, has listed on the NYSE. Do you have any preliminary thoughts on that stock?
No, I mean, IPO markets are pretty hot, but from what I, you know, what you can see is a lot of these, you know, most of the successful IPOs have been in SPACs. So I think that's really been the driving force. But, you know, again, the market's hot. So, you know, not unlike we used to see in the tech boom, you know, you're seeing some pops. But again, these allocations are kind of difficult, I think, to get in the traditional IPOs. But nevertheless, you know, it's a good story. So I imagine it's going to be a good pop. But how, you know, I'd probably wait for a pullback instead of trying to rush in and get in on the first IPO.
Tim, equity investors also do appear to be flip-flopping between defensive plays and cyclicals. Is there an ideal ratio between the two that balances risk and return?
You know, I'm not so sure if there's really an ideal rotation here. There's the only real defensive play has really been value, because I think you've seen such a huge, you know, especially the indexes themselves have been so driven by these big cap techs. But I think that value, and we have to be careful what value is. You don't want to be in a value trap, but it's a long-term tested proven strategy. And I think that's really one that has been proven over time. So I think cyclicals are good for a ride, but you know, again, you can't stretch them like you can momentum. And I think growth is still going to be exposed to higher rates and long-term rates, which I think we got a taste of what's yet to come.
Well, speaking about tech and growth, Tesla's growth has been stellar, but its price volatility, I have to be honest, makes me rather nervous. What do you think of Tesla as an investment for the long term?
You know, how about Tesla? It went below its S&P entry price, you know, very quickly. And again, it's such a high price and the volatility so much, and there's so much growth, future growth pulled forward to the present. So that's why I say if you take these 10-year rates higher, you know, let's say if rates are zero. So cash flows 20 years from now equal the same today. But if you take these rates up, that, you know, intrinsic value or present value is a lot lower. So I think it's subject to that. But also, let's not forget GM, Volkswagen, there's going to be a lot of competition in that market. So, you know, again, I think it's a high flyer. It's, you know, done very well for a lot of people. But, you know, I don't really have the stomach for that. But maybe on a dip, if you're going to bite, you wait for those big, big crunches. But, you know, again, that's a little bit too pricey for my taste.
So, Tim, just following up on that a little bit, let's take the price out for a second here. Where does the value in Tesla lie? Because a lot of its money is coming in from the credits itself, the environmental credits. A lot of people are talking about the battery technology that it has and development and all of that. It's not really selling that many cars in comparison to the likes of Volkswagen, GM, and all the other big car names. What type of company is Tesla really at its core?
Hey, recently Bitcoin, right? I think you hit it on the battery. I think that's really where the real action is going to be. I mean, look, it's been such out in front, you know, like the car itself, there's going to be competition from the automaker. There's no question about that. It's not going to be the only one. But their battery, that's a little special moat for them, I think, that they've really got a good head start on. So, I mean, there is some value in it. But again, there's going to be a lot of competition for it. But listen, they got 1.5 billion Bitcoin, so who knows?
Now, Tim, earlier you mentioned SPACs, and issuers entering the public market this year have done so by merging with a SPAC rather than through a traditional IPO. Why is it that you think they're choosing this route?
Well, I think number one, the SPAC sponsors has been a real upgrade over the past, you know, since 15 years ago when the SPACs first entered the fray. So the sponsors have been good, but it's easier. You know, you don't have the syndicate issues. You don't have the allocation issues, so to speak. And it's, you know, I think much, much easier and less cost effective. And I don't think a lot of these companies were very happy with some of the investment banks as to, you know, how they handled their IPOs and so forth. So I think it's a much cleaner, easier, smoother way. And I think investors like it. And it's been very hot. There's no question about it. Again, maybe too hot for me, but I think it's a little more, the market finds it easier and a little more efficient, cost efficient, and the SPAC versus traditional.
Well, back to stimulus checks and inflation, should we still be worried about reflation curtailing this equity bull run?
Oh, I think so. I mean, everyone thinks it is going to be transitory, but when you look at it, and there's never been this type of fiscal stimulus combined with this kind of monetary stimulus. And, you know, I think that for right now, you know, we had a nice CPI number, and I think you're going to probably see more. But the market, because the Fed believes it's transitory, but this is my dilemma. And time will tell here. So I guess I'm not going to fight this thing, but I like gold a lot. And I think that's going to be good. But I think what you got to wait for is if you do get this inflation and it looks like it's going to be anything but transitory and maybe sticking a little bit more, you know, the Fed not only cannot keep buying securities, the only way to stop it, they're going to have to sell it. But I think I said this once before, I think what we're going to really see when that is coming to roost is when the dollar really starts getting hit. And that might tell us. But to answer your question, I don't think it's going to be transitory given this type of firepower the market's getting from both the fiscal and monetary side. And I think this time, you know, we might be careful what we wish for.
Tim, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Tim Mulholland, president at TGM Limited, based out of Chicago. Ending on the note there that this inflationary concern, not transitory, something that we could be seeing for a longer term, which is that a debate that's happening now, right? There are some who think it's transitory. There are some who are of the opinion that all this fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus and liquidity in the market, commodity prices going up, it's all going to lead to a bit of a longer term inflation element here. And this is something that we will continue to be a theme going forward, especially as bond yields become a bit more of a play and valuations come into question. But right now, we are going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be talking about productivity and working from home with Shamini Ann Jacob, Executive Director of People and Change at KPMG Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.